It's good to be committed, amen? We've been talking about commitment lately. We've been spending time with the Lord and encountering what His Word says His commitment is all about. His truth, the truth about commitment. Amen? It's been good. You know what's so great about committing? Is that commitment is liberating. Sometimes we think when we're committed, oh no, I'm all shackled down. But it's been good to be committed, hasn't it? Have you been committing, as you have been committing your life to God, He begins to set you free. You commit your life to forgiveness, to repentance, to getting right the things that were wrong, and just walking in humility. God begins to unlock you and unleash you. Instead of walking in fear and bitterness and brokenness, right, and your sickness, all of a sudden God just starts to set you free because you're committed to His Word. You're committed to His truth. It's awesome. It's been good. I know a lot of you, there's been a lot of testimonies and stories the past few weeks of God just setting people free because they've been committing to the Lord, committed to not turn back, committed to go to the furnace, right? To stand in the face of our world system, no matter what it brings, no matter what it means, for God, for His truth, go the whole way, the whole distance. Tonight we're going to talk about another kind of commitment, putting your hands to the plow. Put your hands to the plow. Get excited about plowing. Woo! Sounds like hard work, doesn't it? You're right.
Do not be afraid.
Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. While you're turning there, I want to invite you to our... Nobody's turning. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. I want to invite you to our summer camp. Next week, we're going to have our sign-up beginning for our summer camp. It's June 22nd through the 28th. What happens here is awesome, but when we set aside 6 days for the Lord, I'm telling you, it gets ridiculous what God does in people's lives. Amen. How many of you guys have been to summer camp with us? Okay. Boy, that is a lot of people that have not been in this room. You need to make it to summer camp. Pastor Tom Hamill will be up here. I'm telling you, signs, wonders, people get healed every camp. People get saved every camp. People get baptized in the Holy Spirit and get gifts from Him at every single camp. They get rocked at camp. You do not want to miss it. It's $175, June 22nd through the 28th. You want to be there. It's going to be really good. Hosea chapter 10. That's just a little interjection. But now we're in Hosea chapter 10. And verse 11. Judah must plow, and Jacob must break up the ground. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unveiling love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. If you look in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said this. He said, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. No one that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Let's pray. You ready? You ready to pray? Bible says if we touch one thing together, it will be done for us. Let's believe Him that we'll be changed tonight. Let's believe Him that we can be committed to more tonight. Amen? You ready? Let's do it. Let's do it right now when we pray. Father, in Your name we come. In Jesus' name we come before You. We love You today. Thank you for your word. We lift your word up today. You say that if we lift you up, you will draw all men unto you. Today we lift your name up. We lift your word up. We exalt it as the prime and ultimate authority in our lives. Whatever your word says is. Your word is truth. It is absolute. It's what is really real. God, we exalt you today. Move by your truth. Move by the power of your truth to renew our minds. God, that we would be different today. God, we would be different than the way we came in. When we go out, we would be changed. We'd be more like you. Father, we invite your presence in our lives. Lord Jesus, speak to us. Give us fresh revelation in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Are you ready? So we're going to plow. How many guys you just want to get plowing? Sounds like fun. Just strap on, just get your hands on that plow and just get whipping your oxen and going. Yeah. Right? You know, in the ancient times when the Bible was written, they used to create these plows and they would strap them to oxen. The plows had usually one or two handles on them, you know, and they just had either a stick or a branch that was strong enough to dig down in the ground, or a piece of metal if they could find one or make one. And it would dig down in the ground and they would yoke it. They would tie it to some oxen
or some donkeys. Saddle your donkeys, boys.
So they strap them on and they start whipping them with one hand and hanging on and steering with the other, right? So they're digging these furrows in the ground, these small trenches, these long small trenches, so that they could come by afterwards with their bags of seed and go and sow their seed into the furrows, into the trenches in the ground. They wouldn't turn the soil up. They'd dig a furrow and cast their seed into it. Then cover it back up and let it grow. Let it grow. But if a farmer who usually was a husband never went out and made himself a plow and got out there and got his hands on it and dug those furrows, he would never see a harvest. Because if he just cast his seed on the hard ground, nothing would happen. If he just did what was easy, nothing would happen. Maybe one or two kernels of wheat would take root and he could go out there and, like, you know, break it off and eat a little niblet. Maybe he'd get enough to make a loaf of bread. But how is a farmer, husband, going to provide for his family if he doesn't get a good harvest? Right? How can he feed anybody? How can he care for anyone if he doesn't get a good harvest? Put your hand to the plow. I ask you today, what are you committed to? No, I just want to go around. I just kind of sneak into church on Sunday because, dude, that's cool. And all my friends go there and there's cute girls there. I might get married. And you know, I don't want to go to the bar to find a wife. I mean, sheesh. I want myself a good Christian girl. Or at least, she looks Christian. I mean, I don't want her to be plowing any fields. I mean, doing anything for the Lord. I mean, I don't want her hands getting dirty. Lord forbid. Have a wife that works. Come on. You want to put your hand to the plow? You just want to keep going on with your life? Not committed to anything? Just strolling along? Never making your plow and sticking that thing in the ground and whipping those donkeys and getting them going. Whipping those oxen. You can watch other people do it. That's great. But what are you committed to? When you stand before God and I stand before God, what's he going to say to you personally? Because your church won't be there and I won't be there.
your mommy and daddy won't be there, and your girlfriend won't be there, and your Bible won't be there. But you will be standing in front of the Word, the living God, and you will give account for how you plowed your field. You want to plow your field tonight? You want to get started plowing your field? Hosea said that. He said this. Judah must plow his field. Jacob must break up the ground. Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of unveiling love and break up your unplowed ground. The first thing you have to believe is that God has assigned for you a field. 1 Corinthians 9:10 says, surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. You got to believe that you've got a field. You've got to have a reason to make a plow.
I just like to make a plow. Run her down the street. It's fun. Woo! Just got to get me donkeys.
Right? Just because? Or do you believe you actually have a field for the Lord? Man, God made you for something. And you have to believe there's a field there that He made you for it. And that you're going to reap a harvest. Not that you're just going to plow and dig a bunch of trenches. For nothing. You got to believe that when you put your hand to the plow, that one, you know where you're going, and two, you know it's going to be worth it. Farmers don't sow their seed and do all the work into their fields believing they're not going to get anything. They'd go do something else. Go bang rocks together or something. You know? That's fun. I think. Right? But no, they're expecting something. I'm telling you, you begin to walk your life out with the Lord, you better be expecting something. When you go to school, you go to work, you go to your family, you go spend time with your friends. You holding on to the plow? You still got one hand on the plow, one hand on the whip, getting them donkeys moving, getting them oxen moving? Or do you just leave your plow? No, I don't. It's time for me to go play. We'll do the work later. You know, God gave me some fields, but whatever. Oh my gosh, I mean, He wasn't serious. Nah, He couldn't have been serious when He said, go make disciples. What? That's crazy. I'm just 14. I'm only 10. I'm only 90. What happened? Oh, whoa. Where did my life go? What does that plow look like again? Oh, crippled, old, like, okay, Shawnee, let me show you how to plow. For the first time in my whole life, I'm 80 years old. I'm going to start plowing my field. But I've been a believer my whole life. I mean, is that the kind of life that we're going to stand before God? He's going to go, well done, my good and faithful servant. You plowed for the last 2 years of your life. Good job. You knew me for 60 years, but I mean, I'm thankful for the last two. I mean, come on. Come on, we got to be serious that we have a field. There are furrows that the Lord wants us to till up, to plow, to stick our plow into and drag and create a trench so that we can sow seed into people's lives. We can accomplish something. Your hands on the plow. Are your hands on the plow today? How often do you let go of the plow? What are you committed to? And when you commit to the plow, do you know why you're doing it? Are you expecting a harvest? You expecting people to know and come and know the favor and the love of Jesus Christ? Or are you putting your hands to a plow that doesn't have a little niche thing sticking down in the ground? And you're just dragging wood along the ground. pretending like you're doing ministry, pretending like you're doing something for the kingdom. Or when you look back, is there ground that's tilled up? And when you plant seed and when you sow it, is it producing fruit? If it's not, I question. I challenge you today. Maybe you're not plowing for the Lord. Maybe you're plowing for some other reason. Just plowing for fun? That's craziness. There's a lot of other things that are a whole lot easier than serving the Lord, man. If you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. If something's worth doing, it's worth doing 100%. Not 80 or 60. Just half the time, then letting your oxen just go run free and then go try to chase them down and make another plow. And I mean, just back and forth about, am I really going to do this? What am I really committed to? You know, there's a lot of things that can try to distract us and pull us away from wanting to keep our hands on the plow. The call to plow God's field, we can be easily tempted to look away. You know, sometimes just random impulses in our life will draw us away from kingdom work.
I just need a cheeseburger.
Oh man, you know, I just think I need to go move to, I don't know. I'm just gonna spin the globe, dude. Put my finger on something. And then Lil's just gonna go. I need to do a trip around the world, man. I just need a break. Now, relaxation, and there's time for fun, there's time for good times in our lives. But you know what? We work the field, and when the day is done, then we have some time for ourselves. But most of the time, we're working, not playing, not relaxing. Our whole life can't be some hippie movement, living off in some little boonie village, like just barely doing nothing. Trying to figure out every way that you can survive by doing nothing. All right? We're either going to plow or we're not. And there's a lot of random things and radical things that will just draw us off. You know, sometimes conflicting duties or a divided mind can draw us from keeping our hands on the plow. We commit to things that the Lord isn't asking or desiring for us to be committed to. As Americans, I know some of you and have been around some of you that you're on basketball leagues all year round. You don't ever put a basketball down or a soccer ball down or create any time to plow the field that the Lord has commissioned you to plow. It's all some sort of Americanized recreation dream. What is that? Where is that in the scripture? How is that going to fulfill the destiny? How is that going to fulfill the destiny that God has called us to? James 1:6 says this. When we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all he does. Oh, I'm going to plow the field. No, I'm not going to plow the field. Nah, you know, maybe I'll plow the field till I get tired. Once my arms get tired, then I'm just going to pull it up. I'm going to drag up. I'm going to go get myself a cold one. You know, root beer. Oh, you know, you're going, you're plowing, you're like, I'm so bored plowing. Oh, this ox, they stink. What was that? I mean, and my hands got blisters on them, and my deltoids hurt from whipping the ox. I'm hungry. My shoes are dirty. Dirt under my fingernails. Clear out your little spot. Throw your little hissy fit. Right?
How come I have to plow the field? Nobody else ever plows a field. Now here all by myself plowing my own field.
Right? We just come up with whatever we can come up with. Any kind of excuse. Any kind of double-mindedness. What are you committed to and why? You just out there plowing a field because your friends are plowing a field? Are you in the Christian world? Are you pretending to be a Christian because they're the only friends you can make? I mean, because you like it, it makes you feel good? Look, when it gets hard and it gets tiring, if you're not committed to something greater than just being a part of some fun, the first blister on your hand, you don't have faith for the harvest. You're not committed to the Word. You got to be committed to something that's real. You got to be committed to something that is true. That when you look back on your life, when you get to the end of your field and it's fully, completely turned up and you have created all the furrows that the Lord has called you to create, you've plowed and you've worked and you've invested and you've labored for the Lord, and you've come back and you've sown your seed and you've covered it up and you've watered it and you've done everything that God has asked you to do in your field, and when you look back, you go, yeah, that was worth being committed to. That was worth trading my life for. If you're not committed to the Word, if you're not committed to what is really real and what is really true, man, you're never going to plow a field. It's not going to happen. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. If you have two minds, you're committed to two separate things. They have equal authority in your life. Your friends and your own lifestyle and your own things and the things you want and desire and your selfishness or your fears. You're afraid of, oh, what would happen if I surrendered my whole life to God? If those fears are the equal authority or a greater authority in your life than the Word of God, the Word of truth, you just have to be real with yourself. That is double-mindedness. If you can feel that in your own heart, that's not the way that you're ever going to look back on your life and say, yeah, that was worth it. Traded my life for something that was eternal, something that was worth it. There's hope. Even if those fears and that selfishness and stuff is there before you today, you can be delivered. You can surrender those fears. God will forgive you for those fears. God will transform your life tonight. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can be committed today. You can be committed tonight. God can set you free, and the primary authority in your life can be the Word of God, the Word of truth. That's exciting. That's good. That's a good day. It's a good day when you know what you're committed to and you have faith for what you're committed to, that when you commit to it and you put your hands to the plow, it will produce a harvest. And it'll be worth it. A lot of times we're trying to find identity and worth and self-worth and self-accomplishments that'll make us feel like we were something or we did something. The only place that you will find those, my friends, is in the Word of God. Is living your life according to the truth and being committed to it and putting your hands to the plow. The plow the Lord has fashioned for you in the field that He's given you. If you're called to be a police officer, if you're called to go into the business world, if you're called to be a pastor, if you're called to your family, you get your hands on that plow and you get working. You take up the field, you take up the plow in the field that the Lord has given you. And you rejoice for it. Just thank God for it. Even if it doesn't look like neighbor Ned's field. Farmer Fred's field. I'm creative. Come on. Are you thankful for the field that the Lord gave you? Are you willing to be committed to it? Because you're believing in a harvest. Now look, you got to prepare your plow. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. You don't have to be ashamed that you're making a plow and that you're putting your hands to it. You need to be a workman, rightly dividing the Word of God. Correctly handling the Word of God. Correctly putting your hands to the plow and plowing the field the way the Lord has called you to do it. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Wow. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. Are you living or dead? Are you living? You're living. Ha ha. Yes, you must have been taking them schmata pills. You're alive. That's you and me. Everybody in this room is either alive or dead. I promise.
I know. I'm a genius. You don't have to tell me twice.
Who will judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Do you know how to rightly divide the truth? Do you know how to use the truth to encourage, to rebuke, to correct? You got to know how to do these things. You got to know how to pray. You got to know how to hear God's voice. And you have to know how to surrender and repent and forgive others if you want to plow a field for the Lord. If you don't know how to do these things, you need to be committed to know the word of truth and learn these things. That's why we come to church. It's part of the reason we come to church is to learn, to grow together, to be committed one to another, to plow the field. It's a lot easier when you're plowing a field and you got your buddy next to you who's also plowing a field, not up on the sun deck drinking iced tea. And he's going, you can do it. You can do it. Right? He's over there whipping his oxen. Yeah! He's wiping sweat. She's wiping sweat off her brow. You're looking over. You're like, yeah! We're playing a field! This is awesome!
There's a demon or something coming out.
Yeah! I get excited when I'm around other people that are plowing fields and they're committed to the same thing I'm committed to. They're committed to getting their hands on the plow and working hard and not getting distracted and staying focused on what God has for their life. They're not trading their life for some stinking crazy American fantasy that's never going to produce anything. They're trading their life for something real. And yeah, it's hard. It's hard work, but it's worth it. And when we get done working the field and we go up and kick our feet up and drink iced tea, we know we traded our life for something that was good. And that's when you begin to enjoy the fruits of your labor and you sit back and begin to watch a harvest grow and produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. More than what you even put in there, God's going to take out. That's a promise. If you sow your seed, right? If you plow your seed according to his word, according to his truth. Yeah, that's what I want. I want multiplication. I want all of what God has for me. Do you? Are you committed to it? Committed to surrendering it all, being willing, even when your buddies are out messing around and having what they call fun with the ladies or having fun doing whatever other kind of thing they desire, whether it be radically sinful or just a little bit. They're out there having fun. Woo-hoo! And you're in training. How many of you guys, when you look at professional athletes, or you look at special operation military people, you go, wow, that's awesome. You look at the dude whose muscles are so big, he can't even wear clothes anymore. He can only wear spandex.
He's like, you guys got the plus sizes in here, you know?
Why?
Well, I'm naked. Can you tell? I can't find any clothes that'll fit me.
They're impressive, man. Their undies barely fit, but they're impressive. They're huge, man. You can see muscles on muscles and veins. But it's awesome. They make their whole bodies dance. Professional athletes that can run at amazing speeds and break records and all this kind of stuff. We look at them and we don't tell me we don't think this is awesome, because we sit around our TVs and watch them all the time. We go, they get done, we're like, woo! Clapping and yeah! Because we want to be like them. But we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to plow the field. Those athletes, those great musicians, the great ministers of our day and of the past that have seen amazing miracles happen through their lives, it didn't come free. It didn't come because they sat around on the deck drinking iced tea, knowing they got all this potential. God gave them all this gift. A lot of guys sitting on the deck with a lot of gifts. A lot of gals sitting on the porch. A lot of gifts. A lot of potential. No commitment. No commitment. What are you committed to? So what? So what if you're not going to be Billy Graham? Billy Grahamette. So what if you're not going to be Reinhard Bonnke and you really wish you had his name? I know you do. And lead hundreds of thousands on crusades to Christ. So what? But if God called you to win 12, 10, 15, and disciple them, and that's your capacity, 100, 1,000, that's your field. So what if they're more gifted in music or singing or preaching or reading, spelling, whatever? It don't matter. God made you. He willed you for a purpose. Are you willing to step into it? He gave you a plow and a field for a reason. Are you willing to do it? Now look, it's not about your gifts. Gifts are great. God uses gifts. Gifts are not what determines if your field gets plowed. And if seed is sown in that field and there's a harvest, it is not about gifts. It's not. It's about your character. See, character is what determines whether or not you will succeed. Whether or not you will plow the ground God gave you. That's what determines it. Commitment. Very essential part of your character. You've got to have it. If you don't, you'll look back and be wondering why you wasted your life and what you could have done, who you could have been. The only way you're going to know is if you allow God to cultivate your character. Determination is this: purposing to accomplish right goals at the right time, regardless of the opposition. Purposing to accomplish the right goals according to God's truth, right? At the right time, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the fact that you get tired and that there's blisters on your hands and your shoe falls off and you don't have time to go pick it up. And you might get a rock between your big bulbous toe and your next one. Oh, I'm so sorry. It doesn't matter what gets in your way. Diligence. Investing my time and energy to complete each task assigned to me. Dependability, fulfilling what I consented to do or I committed to do, even if it means unexpected sacrifice. Are you committed? Are you dependable? Are you diligent and determined to accomplish that of which God has set you to do? Character. That's what's going to get your field plowed. Now see, when you're plowing your field, this is super important. You've got to keep your eyes up. You can't look to the left or the right. You can't get distracted. The second you're plowing your field and it's pulling you along, and you look to the side, hey, Mom! Or,
she looking good.
you look to the side. Something distracts you. You don't have your eyes focused on the vision of what God has placed in your life and what you're committed to, the whole reason of why you're out there plowing that field. If you lose sight of that,
way out in the distance. All of a sudden, you look here. Are you? How many guys driving and trying to text message at the same time? You know what I'm talking about. Right. You're on your cell phone. You're trying to eat your pizza and drive with your knee. And you're like, old ladies are like, honking at you. What are you doing?
What's that thing on your ear?
I don't even know what those cell phones are. You know, you look down and you're like, oh, I just need to text you really quick. I don't want to miss my date. You get in an accident. Right? You go off course. So what do you have to do when you go off course when you're plowing? It's a pain in the butt. Stop your donkeys or your mules, and you got to go back. You got to move them all the way back, fix your little furrow thingy, and then you set it all up and get going again. Or you stay focused. Right? You just keep your eyes on what God's called you to. You keep your hands on that plow, and you keep driving the mules. You keep driving the oxen. You don't slow down until the work is done, till the day is over. Amen? Come on. You got to stay focused. You can't get distracted. You can't lose sight of the vision. You can't lose sight of the harvest and why you're doing what you're doing, and allow the things of this world and the culture of our world to distract you and lead you astray. Joshua 1:7 says this, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it or go to the right or to the left, that you may be successful." Say successful. "Wherever you go." God can move you from field to field. Your field can sometimes be in college and sometimes be in your family, sometimes be in the workplace. Honestly, it doesn't really matter. I know God cares about where you go and what you do, but your career is not that important. We need to have good careers. We need to work hard, but that's not the most important thing. Your career is there, and that's your field for plowing. See, because there's people in your career, right? There are resources in your career. Your career is not there to give you an identity so you feel good about yourself. Your career, your school, your work, your family is not there so you feel good about yourself and think you're somebody special. No, that's your field to plow. That's your harvest. Come on. Story of a close friend of mine. He's like a family member. He's from India. His name is Abraham Kanti Lal. He is a missionary in India. He's a national, so he's Indian. And he has one of the pastors underneath him that goes into villages that people have never heard the name of Jesus. Hundreds of thousands of people he shares the gospel with, right? And they don't know Christ. That's his field. He's out there plowing it, and they're all Hindu. They're like, "Hey, you're trying to convert us to something else that's not Hindu or their own gods and religion and jacked up stuff." And so they're like, "Dude, we're going to kill you." So they get out all their knives and guns and stuff, and they start trying to chase this guy down. So they're chasing him down. He runs. He finds a Muslim mosque, a Muslim-like temple where they worship, right? And he gets in their deal, and the Muslims are like, "Sweet." They start sharpening their swords. They're like, "Dude, we'll protect you. Don't worry." They start sharpening their swords. You might think that would be the hand of the Lord protecting him. But he goes, wait, stop. This can't happen. I can't be a part of this. Because those people that are trying to kill me, they're going to be my congregation someday. They're going to be the ones that I lead to Christ, and I lead their families to Christ. And we're going to pray together someday. We're going to worship Jesus together someday. We can't go kill him. I'm going to be their pastor. That's somebody who has vision, man. They know, he knows about the harvest. He gets it. He gets it. He's committed to it. No, even if I lose my life, that's okay.
We can't kill them because I get that that's my field and I have to plow it. I have to cultivate it and this is part of the process. No matter what gets in my way, I'm determined. Because my character says I'm determined. I might not be the most gifted guy in the world. But man, I'm determined to plow the field that God has given me. Are you? Are you determined today? If you're not, do you want to be? Are you ready to repent for not being determined? Are you ready to turn from your lack of commitment, your laziness, your lackadaisical attitude, and being distracted and double-minded? Are you ready? Are you ready to do that? It's a time to be committed to something that's really real, that's absolute, that you can look back and know you traded your life for what was right, for that of which God made you for. Jordan, will you come? Worship team. You committed to get your hands on the plow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we just love you today. I thank you for your commitment to us. I thank you for your covenant to us. It's the ultimate commitment, Lord, that you made to us. Trading everything. Complete selfless act. Just laying everything down for us. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that commitment that even as you were going to the cross, Lord, you did not look back. You did not look side to side. You were committed, Lord Jesus. Thank you. As you were going to Calvary and they're whipping you and spitting on you and knocking you over, Lord, you were committed. You were diligent. You were dependable for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your commitment. Where would we be without your commitment to us, God? Where would we be, Lord? Thank you, God. Rejoice in that commitment. Lord, I thank you for making us, for creating us. God, your commitment to create us and to love us. Your word says that your love endures forever, that you never change. Thank you for that. I thank you that your love for us never changes. That you're always committed to love us no matter what we do. No matter how many times we take our hands off of the plow, Lord God, you are committed to love us. Come on, that's good. Thank you, God. You are good. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place right now. We pray that you would plow the heart of our ground. The ground of our heart. Loosen it up. God, sow some good seeds of commitment in there today. Lord God, that we would be committed to your word and to the calling in our lives to serve you. God, you're good. We worship you today. We worship you today. Thank you, God. Will you stand with me? You know, when the word of the Lord comes, we can be fallow, hard ground, or we can allow humility to cultivate our heart and allow us to respond to it. And if you're ready to get right with the Lord and get your life really committed to put your hands to the plow that God made you for, that He willed you for, then I want to invite you to come forward here and I want to pray with you. If you're ready to just repent, turn your life over. This is a hard challenge, I know. This is a hard challenge. Good things don't come without great sacrifice, either to your pride or whatever. So I want to invite you today, right now. We'll just go into a time of worship. You can come and just make a deep commitment to the Lord that you're going to put your hands to His plow, the plow that He made for you, and plow the field. Are you ready? You ready today? Come on forward. Let's pray.
Praise God. Hey, you know what? I'm expecting a harvest. I don't expect to preach the word and not receive a harvest for the Lord. I expect that God's going to produce a tremendous harvest in your life. And that as you commit your life, you begin to plow your ground in the field that God has given you. It's going to produce a great crop. It's going to produce an amazing return harvest for the Lord. But you got to be committed. The Bible says that we need to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. That's it. That's how it works. It's that simple. That when we are missing it in an area of our life, we got to repent and make it right. It doesn't just happen with fairy dust. It happens from real commitment to God's word and real commitment to him and real surrender, which equals life transformation in our lives. Amen. So you're ready? Are you courageous enough to repent for just not being committed to the Lord? Amen. So why don't you just lift your hands with me? Just, and it's an act of surrender to the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, pray with me. Pray out loud, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for my disobedience and my fear and my lack of trust in who you are, in your word. Forgive me for fear of man and what they would think of me if I plowed your field, if I did what I was made for. Forgive me, God. Surrender my life to you now. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I break all of Satan's power and authority over me concerning this fear and this doubt, this lack of trust, and this disobedience. Seal it by your blood. Holy Spirit, come and heal my heart. Fill me with faith. Fill me with trust. Fill me with belief. Fill me with commitment. Fill me with boldness, God, and courage to live my life for you. Let your power flow in my life. Open my eyes to the field that you've called me to. Renew my mind by the power of your word. Holy Spirit, come and fill me up with every good gift. Baptize me in your Spirit. Give me every gift you have for me. Let me prophesy. Let me raise the sick. Let me raise the dead and heal the sick. God, you are good. Holy Spirit, tell me your truth. Speak to me. Let your words be loud in my ears. Let me know your will for my life. Amen. God is good. Just begin to worship him. Just encourage everybody in the place right now. Let's worship him. Come on, let's worship him together. I want to declare the name of Jesus in this place. Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Come on, he's Lord in your life. We got time for this. There's nothing more important going on than to worship Jesus together. Come on, don't get distracted. I come against the spirit of distraction in Jesus' name. That we be focused on you, Lord God. That we be centered on your love. Lord Jesus, you are good. You are good. Come on, with your lips, say, Jesus, you are good.
Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I love you, Jesus. Fill me with your love, Lord God. Come on now, just from your own heart, begin to worship him. Let real words come out. Let your body surrender to him. Let your heart, your mind, your will surrender to him tonight. Let's worship.